भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 66 चैप्टर एंटाइटल पौंडरक द फॉल्स वासुदेव टेक्स्ट 20 त्याज यिष्ये अभिधानम मे यत् त्वया अज्ञ मृषा धृतं व्रजामि शरणं ते अद्य यदि न इच्छामि संयुगं त्याजयिष्ये विधानं मे यत्त्वयाज्ञ मृषा धृतं व्रजामि शरणं तेद्य यदि नेच्छामि संयुगम् त्याजयिष्ये विधानं मे यत्त्वयाज्ञ मृषा धृतं व्रजामि शरणं तेद्य यदि नेच्छामि संयुगम् त्याजयिष्ये विधानं मे यत्त्वयाज्ञं मृषा धृतं व्रजामि शरणं तेद्य यदि नेच्छामि संयुगम्। त्याजयिष्ये विधानं मे जयिष्ये विधानं मे यत्त्वयाज्ञमृषा धृतं व्रजामि शरणं तेद्य यदि नेच्छामि संयुगम् याजयिष्ये विधानं मे याज्ञमृषा धृतं भजामिति शरणं तेद्य यदि नेच्छामि संयुगम्। अतजिस् याजयिष्ये विधानं मे यत्त्वयाज्ञमृषा धृतं भजामि शरणं तेद्य यदि नेच्छामि संयुगम् त्याजयिष्ये आई विल मेक यू रिनाउंस अभिधानम् डेजिग्नेशन मे माई यत् विच त्वया बाय यू अज्ञ ओ फूल मृषा फॉल्सली धृतम एज्यूम्ड व्रजामी आई विल गो शरणम टू द शेल्टर ते योर अद्य टुडे यदि इफ न इच्छामि आई डू नॉट डिजायर संयोगम बैटल Translation purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O fool, now I shall make you renounce my name, which you have falsely assumed, and I will certainly take shelter of you if I do not wish to fight you. Purport: Srila Prabhupada writes as follows: Now, Pondrak, I shall force you to give up this false representation. You want me to surrender unto you? Now this is your opportunity. We shall now fight, and if I am defeated and you become victorious, I shall certainly surrender unto you. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकं वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुता पदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्य देवं श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत श्रीराधाकांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्रीराधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण सो व्हेन बलदेव प्रभु सेंट मी द ईमेल दैट आई एम सपोज टू बी गिविंग क्लास ऑन दिस पर्टिकुलर वर्स आई वॉज आउट ऑफ टाउन I was in Kolhapur and the first thought that came to my mind when I saw the chapter and verse, I read the title of the chapter, Pondrak, the false Vasudev. So I was reminded of in our childhood, many of us I am sure, we have read this Amar Chitra Katha series of comics. So they would come out with many such stories from the epics. And I remember reading this story about Pondrak. And I was left wondering when I read the verse and the purport, what will I be speaking, especially in an assembly like this, where scholars like His Grace Gauranga Priya Prabhu and Radhika Vallabh Prabhu are all seated and all their devotees trained by them at Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeeth, Mahanand Prabhu is here. I feel I am a phony like Pondrak sitting here and trying to speak Bhagavatam in front of them. Those who are actually studying and living Bhagavatam. I mean, we have Vedabase on computers, but that is restricted within the computer screen and the computer structure. You have to carry the computer wherever you need to take it, if you want to refer it somewhere else. But these are all, you know, walking, talking Vedabase. They breathe. So I really feel like a, you know, phony, a false pretender sitting here try to speak Bhagavatam in their presence, in all your presence. So please bless me that I may be able to speak something. His Grace Gaurang Prabhu also. Now I am feeling, now the illusion is complete. Now the illusion is complete. Now I can definitely say that I am totally in illusion. I am trying to say that I can sit here and speak Bhagavatam and Gaurang Prabhu is sitting here. So now the illusion is complete. Now I feel, yeah, I can speak. I have some realization of what Pondharak might be going through. What is Bhagavatam from those persons whom we learned? Okay, so I would ask all of you all, especially Gaurang Prabhu, to bless me so that I can speak something for my own purification. So when I recall that particular, when I said about Amar Chitra Katha, so I recall the illustrations in that book, and Krishna's illustration, the way they had, you know, drawn Krishna, was like, you know, as we read in the descriptions in the scriptures, Advaita Machyuta Manadi Manantarupam Adyam Purana Purusham Navayovanam Cha, and all those descriptions are there. So Krishna was illustrated in that way, and even though Pondharak, he is claiming himself to be Krishna or Vasudev, but he was illustrated like a chubby sort of a person. Again, more like, you know. So I was thinking, how can this person, I mean, even on a physical level, he feels, he's not something attractive. Lord means he has to be attractive. Krishna means everything, all attractive. That is the essence of the word Krishna. All attractive. Now how can this person be impersonating the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That time I didn't know this terminology. And how can he be impersonating Krishna? Krishna is so handsome. And this person is like, you know, all chubby and not very good looking. How can he be, even on a very external, superficial level? Then I was just thinking about what I can speak about. So I was wondering, this Pondharak, he is claiming himself to be Vasudev. Vasudev Krishna. Now Vasudev can also mean the Lord who is all pervading. That is one meaning of Vasudev. Another meaning of Vasudev is he who is the son of Vasudev. Now, in both, if we take both understandings, in both understandings, Pondharak doesn't stand anywhere. You know, he is not all pervading. Neither is he the son of Vasudev. But still, he has the audacity to call himself Vasudev Krishna. I am Vasudev Krishna. So, we have seen in the previous classes, many speakers have spoken, and we have seen in the Bhagavatam also it is described. From where did he get this particular, as they say in English, where did he get the nerve to do so? How could he gather enough guts to call himself Vasudev Krishna? I mean, it's such a self-delusional idea. You have to be totally immersed in yourself to be able to delude yourself on such a grand scale that I am Vasudev Krishna. So, that nerve he gets from those people who are surrounding him, who falsely flatter him. All the flatterers around him. Maybe they want something from him. Maybe they just want to have good time. You know. So that let us see how it plays out with Krishna. Some entertainment for us. Whatever be their motivation. Because he had surrounded him with these flatterers who would always flatter him and, you know, keep boosting his own ego, false ego. Therefore he got this kind of such a big delusion that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead and He is the imposter. Krishna, the actual Krishna, He is the imposter, and He sent that kind of a message through His messenger. So when I read this part, and then I was thinking, okay, now many people have spoken about how we are all like this, and we are also somehow like Poundarak. So I was thinking, what should be the focus of, what should I be speaking about? Because I just couldn't, one time I remember His Grace Sikshashtakam Prabhu, I asked Him, He used to help us prepare Bhagavatam classes, He used to teach us public speaking in Brahmachari class long, long ago. So one time I asked Him, how do we prepare? So He said, when you read the verse and the purport, first immediately don't go and refer what if somebody has spoken on that topic. Don't go and hear that. That you keep for the last. First, what are the points that strike you immediately as soon as you read that verse, that purport? What things strike you? First you note that down and then try to develop along those lines. Then you can hear some other speakers if you get some assistance from that. But always speak what you feel from your heart. So I was wondering, so in this verse, Lord Krishna, Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, that I shall force you to give up this false representation. You wanted me to surrender unto you. Now this is your opportunity. We shall now fight, and if I am defeated and you become victorious, I shall surrender unto you. This is Lord Krishna telling Poundarak that I will surrender unto you. And I am giving you this chance. Okay, now I am in front of you. Let us fight now. So I was just thinking, to the extent to which the Lord can go in order to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls in this world. The fallen conditioned souls in this world are all like Poundarak, as we have heard from so many speakers. They are like Poundarak, they want to be Ishwaroham Aham Bhogi. They are the Lord and Masters of everything that we see, everything that I survey. And the Lord, He goes to whatever extents to bring back the devotees. So very nice, I was reminded of this particular couple of verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it says, Sei bhakta dhanya yena chhade prabhur charan, sei prabhu cha dhanya yena chhade nijajan. Glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of the Lord, of his Lord, and glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. But durdaiva sevaka yadi yaya anyasthane, if by chance a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, sei thakur dhanya tare chule dhariyane, glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. So I was remembered that this particular Poundarak is such a foolish person. All of us, we are here in this material world because we want to enjoy by ourselves without Krishna in the center. That's the reason why we are here, and we have been given this opportunity to try and enjoy all our senses to our whatever as much as we want. So Krishna is waiting that we can somehow or the other, sometime or the other, turn to Him for whatever reason. So as far as possible, glorious is the devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord. But durdaiva, by chance, if a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, for whatever reason he goes somewhere else, then glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by his hair. So in this connection, again I was reminded of another series of verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where it is said, Anya kami yadi kare krishnera bhajan, naam agiteha krishna tare de swacharan. If those who desire material enjoyment or merging into the existence of the absolute truth, of course this is exactly the verse previous to this is akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udardi. From Bhagavatam it is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo udardi. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha padam. Yajeta purusha param. So anya kami yadi kare krishnera bhajan. So that akamo sarva kamo va verse is such a hope giving verse in the entire Bhagavatam, that whatever desires we may have, akamo, absolutely no desires, only the pleasure of the Lord, sarva kamova, or desires, all kinds of desires for material sense gratification, or moksha kama, or desire only to be liberated, whatever be the desire, just worship with intense devotional service. That is the key word. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushaparam. So here in Chaitanya Charitamrita said, if those who desire material enjoyment are merging into the existence of the absolute truth, engage in the Lord's transcendental service, they will immediately attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet, although they don't ask for it. They don't ask for it. Akamo sarva kama moksha kama udari, they are not interested. Most of the times they are not interested also to attain Krishna's lotus feet, most of the times. But still, even though they don't ask for it, they attain Krishna's lotus feet. So it is explained in the next verse, as I said, say Thakur Dhanya Tare Chule Dharyani. So how is that? Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh. So Krishna says that somebody who is worshipping me and still he wants material desires. He is worshipping me and still he is, which is the case for most of us, at least speaking for myself. Even though we are practicing devotional services, but there are so many material thoughts and desires which are continuously hovering around on the mental plane. We are constantly thinking, oh, if only it were like this, if this were adjusted like this, or if I had this particular gadget or this or that, maybe, you know. And again, it's somehow connected. Oh, then I can do devotional service better, then I can read, then I can. But more than all that, we don't realize that it is not that. So Krishna kahe ama bhaje mage vishay sukh. So somehow or the other, connecting to our devotional services, we are actually trying to enjoy the senses. And Krishna is saying, amrita chadi vishay mage ehi bada murkh. So I can give him nectar and he is asking for poison. I can give him nectar, but he is asking for poison. So he is actually a big fool. Ehi bada murkh. But Krishna is again clarifying again in the next verse, that it's not that, but I am not murkh. Ami vigya. Ehi murkhe vishay kene diva. How can I will I give him this poison? Because I, as Krishna says, that Krishna is the eternal well-wisher. Or Krishna and his devotees, they are all well-wishers of the Lord. So amrut, ehi murkhe vishay kene diva. Why will I give him poison? Any intelligent person, if we go and ask him, I mean, normally it happens like this. If somebody goes and asks, give me poison, obviously nobody in their proper senses will just, okay, take this poison, go. You know, we will try to find out what is happening, why he needs poison, why is he asking this kind of a question. Like there was one time, this past time, about Prabhupada. One devotee of, one disciple of Prabhupada, he just wanted to, he went and asked Prabhupada about some few dollars. So Prabhupada understood that he is going to misuse that money. So he just asked Gargamuni Prabhu, who was the treasurer at that time, how much money we have? Do we have that much money? So even Gargamuni Prabhu immediately understood what is the problem. So he said, no, we don't have that much money in our account. So Prabhupada said, see, we don't have that much money in our account, so we can't give you. So similarly, any intelligent person will immediately, when somebody asks for, very knowingly asks for, so we'll try to find out what is happening in his life. Depression mein hai kya? Kya problem chal raha hai? So anybody asks, so Krishna is clarifying again. Ami vigya, I am not a fool. He may be a fool because even though he is getting something so superior, vastly superior than what he actually has now, even though he doesn't have comprehension of how it is superior, but still it is with him. It is within his reach.
And he is asking for something which is like absolutely contradictory, rather harmful to him. So obviously Krishna is saying, Ami vigya e murkhe vishaya kene diba swacharanamrata diya vishaya bhulaiba. So this is the great hope-giving mercy or message that Krishna gives, that I give my own swacharanamrata, I give the nectar of my lotus feet, and by getting the nectar of my lotus feet, by getting that experience, the devotee is elevated, that person is elevated to such a stage, that living entity is elevated to such a platform that he totally and completely forgets all the, you know, petty desires that he may have had at any time. So we see this in this verse, Akamo Sarva Kamogava, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has commented. So it says that there are three components, there are three parts when a person approaches Krishna. First is, what is the motivation? Why is he approaching Krishna? What is the motivation? Second, what is the process that he is following? And third, who is he worshipping, basically? So whenever somebody approaches a particular person, so these three factors are in motion. What is his motivation to approach that person? How is he going to worship? And what is the whom is he approaching? Is that the right person? So if the second and the third components factors, that means the process that he follows and the person that he approaches, if that is right, that means if he follows the process of intense devotional service, tivrena bhakti yogena, and by that process he worships the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, then even if the first factor, that is the motivation, why he has approached Krishna, if that motivation is not proper, that motivation will be made proper in due course of time. So we see this in play, this particular principle, we see that happening in the episode so many times, time and time again in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the episode of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was totally, you know, in a rage when he was not allowed to sit on the lap of his father, and then he walks off into the forest on the instruction of his mother. Why? Just in order to see that, you know, like, to avenge that insult. How dare I was not allowed to sit on the lap of my father. So I will get a kingdom which is greater than my grandfather, and then I will show them what is their kingdom, what is their value, and I will show them. Dikhata unko main. So he went off in a rage. And then we see when he worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the instructions given by Narad Muni. So Narad Muni initially tests Dhruva Maharaj. And he says, oh, you are such a small child, why you are going in the forest? You go and play with children of your own age. Why you are interested in all these things? So even at that time, Dhruva Maharaj shows resolve. He says, no. If you can help me, you show me the way. Otherwise, you let me go and do it on my own. So when again Narad Muni sees that strong resolve of Dhruva Maharaj, he decides to channelize it properly. And then he gives them the process of worshipping Lord Krishna. And at the end, when Dhruva Maharaj has the darshan of the Lord, then we see what kind of a transformation takes place. Even though the Lord is ready to offer, and he offers him an entire planet, which is greater than the whole creation of Brahma, but still, Dhruva Maharaj says, oh, I was such a fool. I was running after broken pieces of glass. Now that I have had your darshan, now I realize that what I was asking for, what I was desiring for, that was all broken pieces of glass. Worthless. I don't really understand why I was so enamored by that. So, here we see that particular Swacharanamrita Diya, Vishaya Bhulaiba. He was totally made to forget, and he totally lost interest in all that pursuits which he had. So here we see this kind of a pastime where Dhruva Maharaj, where this part comes, that Swacharanamrita Diya Vishaya Bhulaiba. Then another part is, Another part to this is that Krishna, now we have seen Krishna goes to any extent to reclaim the fallen conditioned souls. Even conditioned souls like Poundrak, who are like trying to impersonate Krishna, trying to act as Krishna. But at one point of time, Krishna, there is a very nice verse in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is remembrance of Lord Krishna by Uddhava. So he gives a very nice this verse where he says that certainly others who were fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified by the onslaught of Arjuna's arrows. And while seeing the lotus-like face of Krishna, so pleasing to the eyes, they achieved the abode of the Lord. Tathaiva chanye naraloka veera ya ahave Krishna mukharavindam. So in the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada makes two very important points. He says that love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity. And the entire process of devotional service unto the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant eternal love of Godhead. Then Prabhupada says ahead that this love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. So here the word Parthastra Puta is significant in the verse. So Parthastra Puta means those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with arrows. So this particular first purification by the association of devotees, somehow or the other, when we come in contact with devotees, it may be any way. It may be that we see some devotees on Harinam, Monday morning we go on Harinam, somebody sees and then they see what is this, what are these people doing, and then there are so many stories of Prabhupada's, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who just walk into the temple following the Harinam and then they become devotees, they are full-time devotees and now they are celebrated as Srila Prabhupada disciples. And they still say that we don't know what kind of qualification they had. And there is that famous quote by Srila Prabhupada where he says that I made your qualification. So they are also still wondering what happened actually. So this particular association of the pure devotees of the Lord, as Prabhupada says in the purport, the love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. So just as we see, a person becomes antagonistic towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he keeps that kind of association. That we see in this example of Poundrak, where initially we see that he had surrounded himself with a group of flatterers who, instead of giving him good counsel, were saying that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are only Vasudev. And by constant bombardment of this kind of association of false friends, he finally actually started believing that particular lie that I am Krishna, I am Vasudev Krishna. And he went to such an extent of believing in that particular thing that I am Krishna, that he had the audacity to actually challenge the actual Krishna. And now Krishna is here, they are both face to face. So Krishna, he didn't need to come, you know. Like the way Ugrasen and all the members of the Yadu dynasty in Dwarka, the way they reacted to the message brought by this messenger of Poundrak, they had a hearty laugh. They laughed their heads off. And devotees have spoken that how it is so difficult to make Krishna laugh. And that to open with full, Sankirtan Prabhu was very descriptive in his class when he described different kinds of laughter. And how it takes a lot to make Krishna laugh. And still, after all that, I mean, we can understand from the reaction of the people of the Yadu dynasty, that they took it like this is like a joke. is he cracking? Is this a joke? So Krishna actually personally did not need to respond to this kind of a challenge. He did not need to come personally. Like we say, Krishna actually doesn't need to come to take care of the demons. He just a heart attack and, you know, the heart stops beating and the demon is dead. He doesn't need to come personally. But when we see this kind of this Srimad Bhagavatam, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is like, you know, for all of us conditioned souls to get. Krishna is enacting all these pastimes for us so that we can get attracted to his pastimes through the medium of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we get attracted to continuously hearing and chanting his holy names. So therefore, this association of pure devotees of the Lord, this has been provided to us. Like, you know, it's like a tailor-made thing. Otherwise, just imagine that whatever we are doing, studying, being professionals in our own fields, and then somehow we get interested in spirituality, and we feel that I need to read Bhagavad Gita, I need to have spirituality. Now, just if we imagine that there were no organization called ISKCON. There is no such spiritual organization called ISKCON with all the facilities and everything set up so that there is a systematic program, morning program, Mangalarti, Narsingarti, Tulsiarti, Japa, Guru Puja, Bhagavatam class. There is a very systematic program. If this kind of an institutional setup were not there and properly guidelines were not given, then I don't know, I was speaking for myself, maybe it would be like, you know, some sort of a more ritualistic, less of spirituality, but more rituals, external show. And again, that external show more for personal self-aggrandizement rather than to actually please Krishna. But here we see Srila Prabhupada, he has given us such a gift. All this what we talk about, association of the devotees of the Lord, pure devotees of the Lord, he has given us on a plate. We just have to pick up and start eating. Otherwise, if in the absence of a structure like this, of a system like this that we see within ISKCON, spirituality means we will have to start searching, you know. Okay, this is, and even after searching Bhagavad Gita, there are so many other editions of Bhagavad Gita, but after reading those Bhagavad Gita, very hardly any people actually develop any appreciation or develop understand, or the connection is drawn that between the Bhagavad Gita and love for Krishna. There's no connection brought about like that. Okay, Bhagavad Gita, many people in India read, but how many people actually aspire to love Krishna, aspire to become devotees of Krishna? That is hardly. And there are other organizations who have printed many more volumes and editions and copies of Bhagavad Gita and sold them. But still, like, I think it is written in that introduction to somewhere in the start of Bhagavad Gita itself, that before this particular edition of Bhagavad Gita as it is, there are so many that were printed. Hundreds of editions of Bhagavad Gita were available in the West. But after reading all those editions, hardly anybody understood the connection between Bhagavad Gita as it is, Bhagavad Gita and Krishna. What is this? So this particular thing, that the love of Godhead which is dormant within every living entity, in order for that to fructify and come out, the association of pure devotees, association of devotees of the Lord, who are all aspiring to fructify that dormant love for Krishna, which is there within the heart. It is there within each one of our own heart, but we don't know this. It requires a personality like Srila Prabhupada and his followers in order for us to be told that which is within ourselves, in order for us to be told that this is within yourself and this has to be brought out. Otherwise, many people talk about self-realization. Self-realization. What is that self-realization? In black and white, in terms, in simple plain language, without any jargon. The moment we start asking about self-realization, people start using big Sanskrit words, so much jargon comes out, so many things come out. But in plain language, self-realization, tell me what it is and how to achieve it. So it's Prabhupada's mercy and all his followers that they can give it to us in such simple language. What is self-realization? It is actually something which is dormant within each and every person's heart. So Prabhupada and all his followers, they are just holding the mirror and saying, see, it is there within you only. Only you have to activate it. So this love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity. So His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj, he was giving class on this particular Akamo Saro Kamo verse, and he was speaking similar words, like he was quoting this similar pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj to show how Akamo Saro Kamo, he was explaining from Dhruva Maharaj pastime, and then he was also speaking from that pastime where Diti performs Pumsavana Vrata and Aditi performs the Payo Vrata. So he was giving how basically, when we talk about devotion, this, when there is a touch in our life of a pure devotee. So Dhruva Maharaj, when he was, Narad Muni was there, and then in the case of Diti and Indra, the Kashyap Muni was there. So he engaged them in properly. So this particular, the awakened love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. So association of pure devotees of the Lord means what? Not that, oh, we sit around, we talk, joke, eat food, and eat good things, and then, okay, we had a nice time, that is association. Again, association means the pure devotees of the Lord, they make arrangements in such a way that they engage us in the service. That is another, beauty of Srila Prabhupada's books. He has translated bhakti not as devotion, but devotional service. Actual, active engagement. Bhakti is not just some sentiment, not just devotion. Bhakti is not devotion. If we generally look it up in any dictionary, they will talk it as, they will translate it as devotion, bhakti. But Prabhupada, he gives it a totally new dimension by translating that devotional service. That means actual active engagement. No armchair philosophizing. Oh, it may be like this, just sitting around and discussing bhakti. No. Bhakti means something you do actively, engaged in the service of the Lord. So therefore, we see how Narad Muni, he engaged the propensity of Dhruva Maharaj. Kashyapa Muni, he engaged the propensity of Diti, and how the result was so favorable. Similarly, the His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj was saying that he gave a very nice understanding. He said that Prabhupada, I'll just read the quote because I can't remember so many things. Sorry. But it's a very nice thing. He said, Prabhupada's definition of management. Usually we think that management means dollars and cents and logistics and bring this, managing people, telling people to do this, do that, like that. Management means that. Buying stuff, making decisions about what to be done, what to be done. But Prabhupada explained that management means to create a desire to be Krishna conscious in people who have no such desire. That is management. Create a desire to be Krishna conscious in people who have no such desire to do that. So Dhruva Maharaj had absolutely no desire about Krishna consciousness. Diti was very clear. I want sons who will kill Indra. But the expertise of both these devotees, Kashyapa Muni and Narad Muni, the way they engaged those people in such a way that we understand moksha kama udara tivrena bhakti yogena. So as Krishna also says, swacharanamrita diya vishaya bhulaiba. So this is the expertise of the devotees of the Lord. That devotees engage, practically engage. So association, when Prabhupada writes in the purport of the third canto that the love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees, and that association means actually that engagement, that service, that particular whatever throughout the day the engagements which are given to us, which I mean in a spiritual organization like ISKCON, I have not compared, but from the little that I know, the kind of structure and the kind of engagements that Srila Prabhupada has created for all these followers in ISKCON, many other spiritual organizations try to copy. There are very, very like certain spiritual organizations in UK, their representatives, they are very frank, and very frankly they admitted to ISKCON devotees also that our, you know, the way we do deity worship, the way we do aarti, we have actually come to ISKCON temple, then we have observed how you all do, and then we try to implement that in our temple. So many people, it's just a copy, but the whole package deal, as they say, that Prabhupada has set for ISKCON is that kind of an engagement, that kind of an immersion technique, that we are constantly immersed in somehow or the other being Krishna conscious. Even though, I mean, we may be doing that, you know, we may be taken there dragging and kicking our legs and having absolutely no desire. But somehow, now we have been hooked. And in spite of having no desire, you know, we slowly, but, you know, gradually, if we see in our own lives, we can see that it is happening. You know, we are beginning to understand that, I mean, why am I here? Idhar main kya kar raha hun? I mean, somehow it's like, you know, somehow I came in here and then I stopped in this room. Okay. That time I don't realize, but after a period of time, the wheels slowly start turning and it starts dawning on us. It takes time. Like this is my favorite part. I mean, I always try to like this part where this we say Adav Shraddha to Prem, from Shraddha to Prem. Adav Shraddha tata Sadhu Sangha tata Bhajana Kriya. Sadhu has given Bhajana Kriya. Then Anartha Nivritti is Syat. Now we always see this Anartha Nivritti is like a big plateau. This Adav Shraddha tata Sadhu Sangha tata Bhajana Kriya, that's like a slope. Happens fast, and then when we hit Anartha Nivritti, it's a big plateau, goes on flat, goes on and on and on and on and on. Now, why most of the time, I used to always wonder, how come this becomes a plateau? Because, this is my personal thoughts about for myself, because it takes a long time first for the coin to fall that I have anarthas. For the coin to fall, for us to register that I have anarthas. It's not that I am clean. I have a clean slate. Even though we would like to believe that I am totally clean. Unfortunately, it's not like that. So that anartha nivritti, you will start cleaning something only if you believe that it is dirty. So that anartha nivritti takes long because first we have to, it has to dawn in our head that it is dirty. This needs cleaning. And then we will engage in that intense cleaning. So Prabhupada has given us that kind of an engagement. And again, you know, whatever it may be, management, you know, to create that kind of a desire for. So again, I would like to end with this quote by His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu. Very nice quote about management. We can apply it to anything, managing our own personal lives, to managing some base, preaching program, whatever. Such a nice quote, Radha Gopinath Prabhu says, yeah, management means to manage in such a way so that hearing and chanting can go on properly. So as long as these two things are going on properly, hearing and chanting going on properly, that means we are properly engaged. then everything else will fall into place. And whatever may be our desires, you know, like Paundrak wanting to be Ishwaroham Aham Bhogi, I am the Lord and Master of all that I survey. Slowly but surely, all that will be ground down. Grind hoke 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 hoke, kuch nahi bachega. We are grinding a huge piece of stone, so water also grinds down huge mountains. Now we don't know in our previous lifetime, millions of lifetimes, what kind of a huge mountain we have constructed, we have built up. So, big, at one point of time, like we go to this place like Hampi, so we see all those hills, small hillocks and all those hills with big boulders, small boulders, somewhere there are small stones. They were huge mountains at one point of time, Rishyamukh Parvat and like that. But by the power of water, got ground down. So this is the hope that just like the Lord is ready to come down to take up this challenge of a person like Paundrak, you know, personally comes there, which he doesn't need to do in any way, but he personally comes there. He enacts these pastimes so that we are attracted. So he comes there for them also. So just like we are also all having this mentality of Paundrak, so we have got this opportunity. Actually the Lord has come personally through the medium of his devotees, and he is standing here as Gopinath also. Through medium of Prabhupada, he has come personally through the medium of the Srimad Bhagavatam to intervene in our life and somehow attract us and take us back home, back to Godhead. So we should take the full benefit of this kind of an opportunity and try to take one step more further towards Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments, I have already exceeded my time, but comments are welcome always. Anandamru.
Srimad Bhagavata Mahapurana Kincha.